Jesus Christ, Him only. He's the only one who brings us hope because of what He's done for us. And we respond out of that. So today's message is found. Found. And have you ever been looking for something and you found something you weren't even looking for that was even greater than what you were looking for? And this is what happened. And this is what was happening in the time of Paul. The Gentiles had never had a covenant. All the covenants, all the eight covenants in the Bible had been with the Jews. And the Gentiles never had a covenant with the Gentiles. And it's a wonder so many churches today, we say, oh, we need to obey the Ten Commandments. No, that was for the Mosaic covenant. The Ten Commandments were never given to us. We didn't even know what they were. Remember back then, people couldn't read and write. There were no Bibles. The Jewish leaders of the time had the only scrolls, and they even lost that at one time, and had to find it. And so we got to remember when Paul's writing. He's writing about 57 A.D. after Jesus. Paul never knew Jesus. Sometimes we don't think about that. We go, hey, Paul's so zealous for Jesus because he met him and he was there when he was. No, he never knew Jesus. Jesus appeared to him on the road to what? Damascus. Amen. And he had this profound experience where he was blinded by the light. And so we're going to move into that today and talk about found and what has happened to the Gentiles. So we start in Romans 15, chapter 14, because we went through verse 13 last week. So we'll just start in 14. And Paul says, my brothers and sisters, I myself am convinced about you that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. Now remember, he's writing to Rome. He has not been to Rome yet. Okay, he's hoping to go to Rome. We talked about this last week. We can't just jump in a taxi, jump in an Uber, jump in a car, or jump on a plane. Back then, they couldn't just do that. Now I can be in another country within a few hours. But back then, this would have been thousands or hundreds of miles for him to journey through dangerous territory. He's having to walk. He's having to find a place to sleep, find water, all the basics of life. And imagine back in the old days, just walking from Heber City to Salt Lake, how long that would take you. And so he's going much further than that. So he's writing to Rome and he's saying, I'm convinced that you are full of goodness. How would he be able to say that? Because they are believers. As a believer, you are full of goodness and you're filled with the knowledge of who? The Lord. So the Holy Spirit had been poured out at this time. There was a prophecy, if you want to go back to Jeremiah 31, that says, that's another prophecy. I'm going to pour out my spirit in the last days. That was done in Acts chapter 2. But the prophecy was, I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And I'm going to write my laws upon their hearts. Okay? Notice he didn't say, I'm going to write the laws of Moses on their hearts. He says, my laws. What are his laws? Love and believe. There's basically two laws of Jesus. Believe in me and love one another. And so he said, I'm going to write my laws. So this is why he's able to say, you're able to instruct one another too, because you know what love is, because you've been shown love. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. And so this is Paul, and he goes into 15. He says, nevertheless, I have written to remind you more boldly on some points because of the grace given me by God to be a minister of Christ Jesus to who? The Gentiles. Remember, all the old covenants were for the nation of Israel. There's only one covenant that applies to us Gentiles, and that's the new covenant. And the new covenant is his shed blood for you and I. Remember as he stood up in the upper room right before he was crucified, he held up the cup of wine, and he said, drink this. This is the blood of my new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And he said, all you have to do now is believe in me and have faith in me. You don't have to go back. All the old command, I have fulfilled the law. Jesus was born under the law, and he fulfilled the law. And so now we are, the only covenant really ever made with the Gentiles is this new covenant. And we're free to believe or not believe. And we're so he's saying this, he's saying serving as a priest of the gospel of God, God's purpose is that the Gentiles may be an acceptable offering sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So we are that acceptable offering. How are we an acceptable offering? Through our faith in him. Okay, we don't have to get up on the altar. We don't have to shed our own blood. We don't have to shed the blood of bulls and goats anymore. Jesus, for one time and all, shed his blood, and then he sat down at the right hand of God, and it is finished. No more work to be done. If you want to go to work, go to work. If you don't want to go to work, you don't have to go to work. Well, what do I got to do, Chuck? You don't have to do anything except rest in him. He finished the work. And so this is what Paul's writing to them. He says, therefore, I have reason to boast in Christ Jesus regarding what pertains to God. Notice he clarifies that. I have reason to boast. Because have you ever met a boastful person? You usually see them about this time of year when right before the kickoff. You know, oh, we're going to annihilate your team. We're going to take you guys out. Or two boxers about to go at it. Or two MMA fighters. Yeah, you're a dead man. Wait till you get in the ring with me. Only to get their head knocked off, right? And they get humbled pretty quick. And so we see a lot of boasting in the world. You know, I got a lot of money. I got more money than you got. Or I got a bigger house than you got. I got a yacht. Well, I got a yacht with a helicopter pad on it. You know, and it just boast and boast and boast. And so Paul is saying, I'm boasting in Christ Jesus. That's the only thing I have to boast in. And that should be our boasting too. It should be, look what God has done. And we've talked about this before, the difference in a religious person and a believer. A religious person is going to tell you what? Everything they're doing for God. Look at me. Look at me. I'm so holy. I'm praying 3 hours a day, reading my Bible 5. The rest of the time I'm watching YouTube sermons. And, you know, and I'm giving to the church. I'm giving more than 10%. I'm giving 50%. You know, look at me. Look at me. And then the true believer is sitting there going, let me tell you what God has done for me. Not what I've done for God, because let me tell you what God has done for me. He's created me. He saved me. He redeemed me. He sanctified me. I'm forgiven. I'm not guilty by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? And that's the gospel, right? So he's boasting in Christ. And in Jeremiah, it says this. This is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. The strong should not boast in his strength. The wealthy should not boast in his wealth. But the one who boasts should boast in this. And remember this. That he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things. This is the Lord's declaration. Right there in Jeremiah. I want to boast. I'm going to boast in him and what he has done. And he is the faithful one. He is the one for justice. He is the one for righteousness. And that's what the Lord delights in. So Romans 15, 18 through 19. For I dare would not say anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. By my word and deed for the obedience of the Gentiles. What is the obedience of the Gentiles? Remember now, we never had those 613 laws and commandments. Because people get mixed up and they say, oh, well, there's 10 commandments. Well, yeah, but there's 603 more. Everything from, you know, what you can't eat to what you can eat to what you can do and what you can't do and thou shalt not and do this. And if you back in the old covenant, God said, if you will keep these things, I will make you a great nation. But they did not. They were unable to. Therefore, Jesus had to come. So the obedience of the Gentiles is our belief in him. Once you believe in Jesus Christ, that he is your Lord and Savior, you have become obedient. And people get really confused about this. Well, I got to be obedient to God. Well, what's God telling you to do? Well, he told me to do something the other day. It was that little soft voice. And it just, I was just prompted. And I did it. And I'm not going to even say what it was. But it was just a little something that God said, put on my heart at that split moment, said, Chuck, do this. And I did it. And that's being faithful to the Lord as a spirit leads you. But you're already obedient by your belief in him, so you're not disobedient. Because remember, he talks about the children of disobedience. They did not believe, therefore they could not enter into the land. Because they were disobedient. He talks about the lawless ones and the disobedient ones. Who are those people? The unbelievers. But we as a church, we have to unthink how we've been taught. You know, obedience means I got to pay 10%. Obedience means I've got to love my neighbor as myself. Well, we already talked about how that's impossible. And love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. We already talked about how that's impossible. You can say you do that, but you really don't. We put ourselves before him all the time. Because we have this thing called the flesh. I want what I want. God, I'll get to you later. But I love you. You know, so we placate God. And God said, it's okay. I loved you first. Now you can love me. Now we can get along. I don't hold anything against you. So he says, by the power of miraculous signs and wonders, and by the power of God's Spirit, as a result, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ from Jerusalem, and I'm going to mispronounce this word, all the way to Illyricum. And I even looked up how to pronounce it, and I didn't pronounce it right. But there's about 1,000 miles between Jerusalem and Illyricum. There's like 1,000 miles between that. And so this is what he's saying. He's proclaimed the gospel, and specifically to the Gentiles. You know, this prompted me to think about something that when Jesus told his disciples, you'll do greater things than these, what was he talking about? Because Jesus raised the dead, cured the lame, opened the eyes of the blind, cast out demons. Jesus did some amazing things. And if you want to really get deep in the Bible, Jesus parted the water for the Israelites to go through. Because the Old Testament talks about his way was through the sea. Not around it, not above it, not under it. He went through the sea and parted the waters for the Israelites coming out of Egypt. But you say, what is the greater things that you're going to do? You're going to bring people, you're going to bring the good news of Christ to the Gentiles, and they're going to believe. That is greater than anything. So Jesus is saying that's greater even than the miracles that you saw. What does he say about the miracles? You know, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh a sign. You know, we're always wanting to prove it to me. Oh, you say you're God? Prove it to me. And we're always wanting that. But Jesus says, blessed are those who have not seen, or even more blessed than those that did see him and walked with him. We're even more blessed because we have not seen him, but we still believe. Jesus said those words himself. So he goes on to say, my aim is to preach the gospel where Christ has not been named, so that I will not build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who are not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. And see, this is how simple the message, the good news of God is that anybody can believe this simple message. And this is how offensive it is also, because to the religious people that are trying on their own to achieve holiness, to achieve righteousness, for you to tell them, oh, it's not about you, it's about faith, it's about belief in him, they say, no, it can't be that simple. And it confuses them. And we talked about how Paul said the simplicity of the gospel, it causes people to go one or two ways. They either embrace that and go, well, you know what? I couldn't do all those commandments, but I can do that. I can believe and I can have faith. But I couldn't do the rest of it. Or if you are someone trying to work out your own salvation, trying to be good enough to be acceptable by God, you'll never make it. You'll always be frustrated, and you're not. It's not going to work out for you. And this is what Jesus is talking about when he is so harsh with the religious people of that time. He has always has harsh words for the church people. And I say that term loosely. The official religion, the man-made religion out there, the doctrine of men that Jesus spoke about. So those who were not told about him, we'll see. And those who have not heard will understand. Isaiah says this in 52. See, my servant will be successful. He will be raised and lifted up and greatly exalted. Who are we talking about here? Isaiah 52, Jesus. Here we are back, Old Testament Jesus. Just as many were appalled at you, his appearance was so disfigured that he did not look like a man. This was after he was beaten and flogged and spit upon and put a crown of thorns on. It said he was so disfigured, he did not even resemble a human being. Can you imagine? So he will sprinkle many nations with his blood. I added that in, but that's what he means by sprinkle. Because that's what they did on the altar. They would sprinkle the person with the blood of the lamb and the goats. And their sins would be what? Covered for a time. But now our sins are taken away. Big difference. Big difference. So he will sprinkle many nations. Kings will do what? Shut their mouths because of him. For they will see what had not been told them, and they will understand what they had not heard. Remember here again, there's no Bibles in these days. A lot of people are illiterate. They don't know. They just know that the Jews have a God. They have this God named Jehovah or Yahweh. And the Gentiles were just doing what they normally do, just living their life. And they had not heard about this miraculous Jesus. Isaiah 65 says this, I was sought by those who did not ask. I was found by those who did not seek me. Here he's talking about the religious people of the time trying to seek God and trying to look through the scriptures and find God. And Jesus talks about that. We'll go into that in a minute. And it says, I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. So he came first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. So my question today for you guys is religion getting in the way of you knowing him? How many people have heard this? I had to leave the church to find God. Yeah. And it's sad because a lot of churches nowadays mix law, the law that we were never under, unless you were a Jew. They take that law and they mix it with grace, and therefore they blaspheme the name of Jesus by doing so. They think that the cross was not good enough. His blood was not sufficient enough that I have to do something to add to that. And this is what we're conditioned today. We're conditioned to, like, if I do good, I'll get a cookie and a glass of milk. If I don't, I won't get a cookie and I won't get a glass of milk. And our God is the kind of God that says, I'm going to give you a glass of cookie, not only a glass, but a gallon of milk and a whole bag of cookies just because. You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. Just because you're my son and you're my daughter, I'm going to do good things for you. Amen? Amen. So think about this. In Matthew 15, 21, and I'm going to read this because sometimes when I tell a story, I leave out some integral parts. So in Matthew 15, 21, Jesus had left Jerusalem and he had gone to a nearby city called Tyre. And what's the other city? Tyre and Sidon. Yep, you got it. And he says, just then a Canaanite woman. Well, what's a Canaanite woman? That would be a Gentile. Okay, not a Jew. A Canaanite woman came from that region and kept crying out, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely tormented by a demon. Jesus did not say a word to her. Now, imagine this. She's coming and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is being tormented by a demon. Now, notice she calls him, first of all, Lord. Did the religious people at that time ever call Jesus Lord? No. Did the goody-goody church people ever call him Lord? No. Here is a Canaanite Gentile woman who is considered to be basically a dog in that society. Not even worthy of speaking to. This is why the woman at the well was surprised when Jesus spoke to her. You are Jew and you're speaking to me? Not only am I a Gentile, but I'm a woman Gentile. And so here's the situation. He didn't say a word to her. Is that kind of rude? Is somebody came to you and said, hey, Lynn, have mercy on me. I need your help. And you just turn around and keep walking? It's kind of rude, right? Yeah. Okay. So he says, Jesus did not say a word. His disciples approached him and urged him, send her away because she's crying out after us. So now the disciples are going to Jesus and say, get rid of her. She's following us along the road and she's crying out after us and she's making all this big fuss. And his reply was, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now this is before the new covenant. Understand where we're at. This was before God's grace had been poured out. This was before he shed his blood. People think the old covenant started at his birth. It did not. It started at his death. So that's why if we read the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll get really confused. But that's Jesus explaining the old covenant to the Pharisees that you say thou shalt not murder, and I'm going to up it for you. I'm going to say if you even look at your brother with contempt, you've murdered him. And you say thou shalt not commit adultery, but I'm going to up it for you. If you've even looked at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery. So basically, Jesus indicts everybody. You're all indicted. And so here he is, and he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house, but she came and knelt before him. Picture this. She gets on her knees before him and said, Lord, help me, please. He answered, and listen to this answer. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She's kneeling before him. Lord, please help me. And he basically looks at her and says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. I don't know how I would have reacted to that. I might have had some harsh words to say. I might have got up and said, who are you calling a dog? What are you talking? Are you calling me a dog? I don't know how I would have reacted to that. But listen to how the Canaanite lady reacted to that. She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She's called him Lord and she's called him master. And then Jesus turns and says, woman, your faith is great. Let it be done for you as you want. And from that moment, her daughter was healed. Is that not incredible? So faith in Jesus Christ trumps anything else. That's the greater work. That's the being found. And he was found by people that weren't even looking for him. The people that weren't even looking for him called him Lord. The people that weren't even looking, the Pharisees, Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think they give eternal life. He said, the scriptures testify of me. Now, what scriptures did they have back then? They didn't have the New Testament. Jesus is telling you, the Old Testament, the Moses' law, Isaiah, all the Old Testament prophets testify of me. But you refuse to come to me. And here's the quandary of religion. We want to try to do it our way, make up our own way of doing it, and we reject the simplicity of Jesus Christ. And he's standing right before us. And that's why I asked the question, is religion getting in the way of you knowing him? Because there's many people that have gotten caught up in the religion and don't believe or believe in their own way and don't trust in Jesus Christ. And this is the last slide I had here, was Jesus speaking to the religious. You don't have the word residing in you. He's talking to the Pharisees. You don't have the word residing in you because you don't believe the one he sent. You pore over the scriptures because you think you have eternal life in them. And yet they testify about me. But you are not willing to come to me so that you may have life. Amazing. Amazing. And so the message today, guys, is very simple. Faith and belief in the Holy One, Jesus Christ. He is our Alpha, our Omega. He is the beginning and the end. There is no other God besides him. He came for us. He gives us peace. In Romans, we study where we have faith in him. We have peace in him now. We're no longer fighting him anymore. We're no longer condemned by him anymore. He's not disappointed in you. He can never be disappointed in you. And we talk about this all the time because he already knows what you're going to do before you did it. You know, we talk about sin. Well, there must be something, Chuck, because I keep doing the same old sin over and over again. Yeah, well, join the club. Okay? Well, there's a sin. There's this one sin that I don't think he can forgive me of. There's just this one thing, Chuck, that I don't think God could possibly forgive me of. Then you're saying that your sin is greater than the blood of Jesus. There's no sin that you can commit greater than the blood of Jesus. And so when we walk around as believers, walk around knowing God loves you just like you are. And you'll hear preachers say, don't tell them that. Tell them he's in love with a future version of you. And a lot of people have gone to church and said, God's not happy with you yet, Bill, but he's working on your work in progress. And I'm not saying you can't have more knowledge of him through studying the scriptures and stuff, but I'm just saying you're either 100% righteous right now or you're 100% sinner. There's no 50, I'm 50% righteous and I'm 50% sinner. You are holy and righteous and blameless before him. Your sins have been taken away. He remembers them no more. So why are you worried about them if he's not? Have peace. Understand. Rest in that. You know, and you think about it and you just go, man, I can't wrap my head around it. How can he love me that much? Because it's the only way. Because if it was based on our way, we would all go to hell. We would all fall short. And we saw that in Romans where all have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. But keep reading Romans 3:24. What have been justified freely by the gift of Jesus Christ. I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to pay money. I didn't even have to go to church. I didn't even have to read my Bible. Do you think this Canaanite woman had ever read the scriptures? Do you think this Canaanite woman had ever even heard of a Mosaic covenant? You think she had ever gone to the temple and given alms and given money? You think she ever did any of that? She had no clue, but she recognized he's my Lord. And she fell on her knees before him and said, Lord, please help me. And even when he rebuffed her, and I think he did it for the purposes of what we have today, to show us how good of a God he is, by saying what he said, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. Knowing what she was going to say next, yes, but even the dogs eat from the master's table. You are a woman of great faith. Go and it will be done for you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another comforting word from you, Lord, and to know that your kindness brings us to repentance, Lord. And thank you for just loving us and showing us your love through your son, Jesus. Thank you for taking away our sins and remembering them no more. Thank you for washing us clean and making us righteous through faith. We can't thank you enough, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name, everybody here have the peace of God. Amen.